seat. You know, it's interesting as we were kind of looking at this series and what to call it and stuff, and came up with the word amazing. It's a great word, isn't it? Amazing. I think we can use it lightly, like, oh, that's amazing. But I've been challenged as we've gone through this series to relook at and to really get how amazing God is. And I know a few weeks ago I talked about John the Baptist and that passage where he says he's great. I need to get smaller and he needs to get bigger. And really, it's just our perspective. If we could capture how simply amazing God is, it revolutionizes our lives. It changes everything. I had a chance this week to kind of let the rubber hit the road a little bit with kind of trusting God. I'm talking about faith this morning and believing that in faith that God does hold all things in his hands, and he even knows what goes on in these computers that we deal with. And you might have noticed this morning that the computer flipped out to blue again, and it might do that as I'm speaking this morning. And we've been kind of troubleshooting that thing. And then on Tuesday, in our office, in our ministry center, the hard drive went down on our computer, a main one. Thankfully, there was a backup, but you know, we had worked through that. I'm going, God, are you in charge of this stuff? I have to believe in faith that you are. This stuff that we can't touch and can't feel and can't somehow get at. And then Thursday, a wonderful thing happened on Wednesday. Our new website came up as a church. You might have noticed that. And there might be, I was going to say, check out Kevin's talk from last week on our website. But I actually haven't checked to see whether it's there. So it is there. Somebody nodded. Awesome. Check that out. He spoke on living water. And I love it. This is a side note. But when I'm talking to somebody and they say, yeah, it's like, and somebody said, it's like Kevin said about living water and about grace on Sunday. And it's awesome to know that what's being said is something that's practical and relates with real life as we go through the week. And that was an awesome word last Sunday. But anyhow, then our with our website changing, our email went down on Thursday. So if you did send an email and it bounced back to you, I think most of us are up and running. Kevin's still going to get up and running in the next couple of days. So we're all just our first names at coasthillschurch.com, and we welcome communication. And believe me, we will have it all going. And it's a wonderful thing. We're going to have even better systems than ever before. But sometimes there's a few glitches along the way. And through that, I had to, you know, there's that faith, you know, and this is a small thing. And I'm going to be talking this morning about some things that are much more life-transforming and change not just your day, but your week and your life, and how that impacts you. And this morning, we're looking at a guy who had a life-changing event and a life-changing kind of encounter with Jesus, and his faith grew. He had some faith to go with, and then it went from there to something very, very profound and very, very deep. And we want to talk this morning about coming to understand what amazing faith looks like, and that each of us can grow and develop more of an amazing faith, that God, you are in charge of all things, and your kingdom is at work, and I'm going to just trust you and go about my business once I just believe you in faith and go on with my day and know that, God, you're going to take care of things. And that's a day-by-day, week-by-week, you know, month-by-month journey, and something we grow in. So this fellow, Roman official, had quite an opportunity to grow in his faith. And we're going to read John chapter 4, verse 43 to 54. And it says, at the end of the 2 days, Jesus went on to Galilee. He himself had said that a prophet is not honored in his own hometown. Yet the Galileans welcomed him, for they had been in Jerusalem at the Passover celebration and had seen everything he did there. And as they traveled through Galilee, he came to Cana, where he had turned the water into wine. There was a government official in nearby Capernaum whose son was very sick. When he heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went and begged Jesus to come to Capernaum to heal his son, who was about to die. Jesus asked, "Will you never believe me unless you see miraculous signs and wonders?" And the official pleaded, "Lord, please come now before my little boy dies." Then Jesus told him, "Go back home. Your son will live." And the man believed what Jesus said and started home. While the man was on his way, some of his servants met him with the news that his son was alive and well. He asked them when the boy had begun to get better, and they replied, "Yesterday afternoon at 1 o'clock, his fever suddenly disappeared." Then the father realized that that was the very time Jesus had told him, "Your son will live." And he and his entire household believed in Jesus. This was the second miraculous sign Jesus did in Galilee after coming from Judea. Pretty straightforward story. It's a story about a man and his sick son and his encounter with Jesus. When you look at it a little bit deeper, certainly there's this unbelievably heavy-duty kind of situation. We've got a boy who's about to die. And we've got Jesus healing him. But what you see on another level is that this relationship between the Roman centurion or the Roman official and Jesus developed and deepened, and his faith grew. And that is a goal that God has for all of us, is that our faith would move and it would deepen and it would grow. Because God's ultimate goal for us is that we would become more like his son Jesus. And Jesus was ultimately faithful and ultimately full of faith. And so we're going to look at that this morning. But the first few verses, it's kind of interesting, just as a preliminary. Last week, Kevin talked about Jesus being in Samaria and encountering a woman who was looking for living water and her life being transformed through her encounter with him. And Jesus was always, you know, growing and exposing himself, showing himself to higher, wider and wider groups of people. And he left us a challenge to talk to him, too, in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. That's what he leaves at the end of his days as a challenge to us. And he invites us to get in on his story that way too. Now, Israel's not a big country, but Jesus, he ends up going back to his home area. And it could be that the people didn't accept him at first because, you know, he's just Joseph and Mary's son. No big deal. But now he was getting some recognition. And it may be that he went to Samaria to escape some of that confrontation, or some of that recognition, because he didn't want a confrontation, not yet, anyhow. And they welcomed him in Galilee, but they didn't honor him. And it's interesting, the progression, because by the end of chapter 6, a couple of chapters later, they're trying to put him in his place. And by the end of that chapter, they're just walking away from him en masse. But it's interesting, because Jesus, he was on a mission, and he was out to fulfill his father's will on earth. And for him, even if it was his home crowd that walked away from him, some of the people that were closest to him, it was okay, because he was doing what God had asked him to do. And so it goes on and says that he traveled through Galilee, came to Cana. We talked about him turning water into wine. And it says there was a government official who was from nearby Capernaum. His son was sick, and he comes to Jesus, and he begged Jesus to heal his son, who was about to die. Now, the thing about this guy is he wasn't just any guy. He was a royal official. He was a person who could have been connected to King Herod. And it's interesting that this guy, who had a ton of power, he was powerless to heal his son. And he traveled about 20 miles in order to get to Jesus. Now, that would have been, today that's not very far. We could jump in the car, drive 20 miles downtown Vancouver. But think about walking that. That takes some effort. That would be about a six-hour walk, or back in the day would have been maybe 2 hours on chariot. So it's a long way. And here's a royal official, a government official, coming to ask a carpenter for help. That would take some real humility. And he comes to Jesus, and he swallows his pride, and he asks him to heal his son. You know what? It always takes humility to move towards faith. If we are full of pride, we will not move towards faith. But for this guy, he wasn't just kind of a casual ask. It was like a deep ask. It was like, my son is in danger. And for any parents out there, if your child has ever been sick or ill or in danger, you know what it's like. You'll do anything for that child. Now, there's been a couple of instances, as I was thinking about, as my kids have been growing up, but I think of one time when my son and I went out for a bike ride. And he was about 4 or 5 at the time, and he used to just follow along behind me. And I had a hard time keeping a helmet on him. You know how kids, they just want to jump on their bike and go for a ride. And I didn't check to see whether he was wearing a helmet. He just was following behind me, and we got about 2 miles down the road. It was the same road we lived on. And all of a sudden, I look back, and there he was, and I'm going, he's not wearing a helmet. And I'm about to tell him, we're going back home again. And just then, I just see him hit the curb and go flying head over the handlebars. Didn't get his hands out in front of him, landed with his head on the cement. Just this sick feeling. I grabbed him, picked him up, and you know, you want to talk about desperate. When your child is seemingly in danger, I just ran out onto the road. And there happened to be, because I was just like, I'm going to flag anybody down. And there happened to be a guy coming in a truck right then. He says, "Where do you live?" I give him the address, chuck him in there, jump on my bike, go down there, get him to the clinic right away. Thankfully, there wasn't any damage. Not that we know of, anyhow. Some people who know my son may. But when our kids are sick, you know what that's like. You'll do anything. But there were two mistakes that this man had in his understanding of Jesus. And one was that he thought distance would be a problem. And we know that for Jesus, distance is no problem at all. He thought that he would have to come there in order to help his son. And then the other problem was that he thought that if he was too late, his boy would be die and that would be the end. And as we know, even for Jesus, death isn't a separation. It isn't a hurdle either. So he had a couple of things that he didn't understand completely, but it's interesting how Jesus responds to him. Jesus says, "Will you never believe in me unless you see miraculous signs and wonders?" It almost seems rude, doesn't it? And I want to look at this kind of progression and see what real faith is. You know, what Jesus was confronting there was kind of this ugly attitude of, you know, what have you done for me lately sort of idea that many people had towards Jesus. It was based on just kind of a faith that was like, I'll only believe in Jesus if he does something big and profound and wonderful, and I get to see that. And this morning I want to look at different kinds of faith and where God meets us at on those kinds of faith. So I want to talk about deepening your faith. And it's interesting that God oftentimes starts, he does, he's a gracious God. He starts where we're at. And it might be kind of a shallow kind of faith initially, but he will start where we're at. And Jesus did show his power over all he made. And people came into belief in him. So there can be a signs and wonders kind of faith. That's kind of the first one I want to talk about. It's kind of where you go from, it's almost like an amusement park kind of faith where you're just kind of going from one thrill to another. You're just, okay, God will do this. Then God will do this. And you know, it's interesting that God does. Sometimes he does give us just what we need at that time, or we see something great that he does. But it's unfortunate if we don't move on from this stage. And God calls us to a deeper kind of faith than just what kind of miraculous sign have you done recently? And many of the people in the crowd, they came with that. And they left, never going further than that. But we see with this father, he had another kind of faith that was going on too. It was a crisis faith. It was him coming to say to him and saying, I'm in trouble, and God, would you bail me out? How many of us have prayed those kind of prayers? I know I have. Many of us have prayed those kind of prayers. It's like, God, I'm in a desperate need. The difference between a signs and wonders one and a crisis faith is that you're the person in need at that point. And you know what? God does. God does come and meet us in that as well. I've been studying the story of Louis Zamperini recently. I think I mentioned him a few weeks ago, but just a fascinating figure. There's the author of the book Seabiscuit has recently written a book called Unbroken. And it's a Louis Zamperini story. And it's the story of this guy who was a great track athlete, ran in the Berlin Olympics, and then went into the war for the U.S. and his plane crashed in the Pacific. And he miraculously survived, him and two other guys. They ended up on a lifeboat. Can you imagine just a little life raft? Just a little raft, floating around in the Pacific for 47 days. And he once had to go into the water and fight off a shark, actually punch a shark in the nose in order to get him to leave them. They had a few chocolate bars and a few crackers to get them going, but he went from, over the course of later on, he was in a POW camp. He was captured by the Japanese when they finally did get to shore. But he was in crisis, and he said at some point him and his two friends said, we're going to die without water. And they had this crisis prayer faith where they just said, we need water. And a storm came over, and all of a sudden just started pouring rain, and they were able to capture enough water to help them out. And it happened two more times, and each time he just said, this is amazing. Okay, when I get back to civilization, I'm going to investigate more about this God. interesting story. He ends up kind of just going his own way after he does end up going back to the States, but comes to the rock bottom, ends up at a Billy Graham crusade in Los Angeles, Billy Graham's kind of big first crusade, and comes to this point where he kind of finally goes, you know, and his life was completely empty. He was angry at God. He was angry at everyone. He was really living on alcohol by that time. And he comes to this place where he says, is that the only thing? Will I only... And he was going to storm out of this meeting that his wife had talked him into going. And he was about to walk out, and he says, am I that much of a heel, he says, that I would only ask God for help in the difficult time and then walk away from him now? And he ends up going and giving his life to Christ, and his life was completely transformed. Completely transformed. He's like in his 90s now, and a few months ago he was interviewed at the Crystal Cathedral, and it was just so interesting and cute to see this little old man say, you know, this book has just been written about me. And he said, you know, the reviews are coming out and everybody's giving it 4 stars. He says, but one reviewer said, I can't give it 4 stars or whatever, 5 stars, whatever the most is, because I just can't believe a life can be changed so dramatically after he prayed that prayer at this crusade. And Louis Zamperini says, but can't it? When we believe in God, it says all things are made new. And his life truly was changed at that point. That's a whole nother level of faith that God brings him to. But at this point, this Roman official, this government official, is at a crisis faith. I believe he moved into more of a needing faith when he asked Jesus rather than demanded. When he continued to ask him, he believed that Jesus could meet his felt need. He actually believed that Jesus could heal his son before he believed in Jesus. When we know we are broken and we need some help, and we ask God to help us, God will help us in those times. Some people, they resist coming to God. They just say, you know what? They have this huge ideal. They say, you know what? I'm only going to come to God if I don't really need him. Like, I'm just going to come and only when I, you know, he's God and I'm going to give him. You know what? God invites us to come with our needs. He knows that we're a needy people, and we're always going to be needy. And he invites us to come to him. So don't let that be a barrier for you to come to God, saying, you know what, I'm not going to come, you know, only just with my need. God says, come to me with your needs. And this guy did. God knows, and he's merciful, and he wants to help the people he's created. He wants to help us. We can learn to depend on God and develop faith through a real need in our lives. You might be here this morning and have a real need, and God says, you know what, keep bringing that to me. I really want to come and meet you there. But it's interesting the way it goes. Jesus turns to me and says, now go back home, your son will live. And it says, and the man believed what Jesus said. And in this translation it says, and started home. You know what? It's really great when we move to an acting, kind of an obedience kind of faith. And we say, you know what? I know what you've said, God. And I'm just going to live that out. No guarantees, but I'm going to go there. When you think about this man and the kind of faith he had to demonstrate at that point, if he was to start heading home, you know, the 2-hour chariot ride, or if he was walking the 6-hour ride, if he went home and then found that his son wasn't well and came back again, his son would be dead by that time. It really shows that this man really truly believed God. And in fact, some commentators said, you know, when you look at actually the timeline on this, when he got back home, or when he got home, it was the next day, and they said yesterday at 1 o'clock, which seems to indicate that maybe he went about his business or did different things before he even went home. He was so confident that God had done it, that he didn't worry anymore. It was like, God, you've taken care of it. This father just knew that at the very spoken command of Jesus, the distance was no problem. His son was healed. You know, the same is true today. Though we don't see Jesus in the flesh in front of us, there's a God who says, you know, distance is no problem. Whatever place you're at, whatever your need is, I can do it. And oftentimes what it takes in our lives is to say, you know, I'm going to just act out what I know to be true. If it's a problem maybe in our marriage, maybe it's going to take some forgiveness and humility to just operate and act in faith that God, you can save my marriage if I just work in this world in the way that I know you've asked me to obey you. Maybe if it's a financial challenge, then God's just saying, be generous, act in a generous way, and I'll provide. And maybe God might say, you know what, I'm not going to provide until you give. I'm not going to save your marriage until you just obey and act. And this guy simply obeyed Jesus. He didn't need to have him, Jesus, explain himself, why he wouldn't go do it, why he wouldn't do it on his terms. He just obeyed. There's a faith that just says, God, I'm going to just let you do what you're going to do on your terms, not on my terms. And this guy demonstrated an incredible faith when he went. We obey, we act, and then we see how God often, always has our best interests at heart. That's a deep kind of faith. A knowing faith, an acting faith, a knowing faith. The next day when he got there, he saw and he knew when they said yesterday at 1 o'clock, his fever disappeared. He went from an acting faith to a knowing faith when the servants came and met him and told him, you know what? At the very moment that Jesus spoke. And you know, I think oftentimes in our lives, when we've been journeying in this faith journey for a time, God invites us to look at a time and say, look at how I acted here. Look at how I acted there. And it's faith building to us. If we'll just recount those times, and God will bring them to our memory and say, you know what, look at how I did that then. Of all the different healings that Jesus did, this one really is the most amazing. When we talk about what's simply amazing, some people Jesus healed with a single word. Some people he touched. Stretch out your arm and there was a person healed. A woman just touched the edge of his robe. He took a little girl by the hand. He spat on the ground. He put mud in the eyes. And we talk about healing and we all go into a situation that we might know about right now. I think that just happens in our own minds. And we start going, could Jesus do that for that person? Or could he do that for me? And, you know, we've had opportunities to see God heal, even amongst us and in our own church community here. And some of you who are in life groups, you know of healings that have gone on where you prayed and God's done it. And it's an amazing thing to see. God does heal. Does he always heal? He always will ultimately heal us when it comes to eternity. Sometimes it's on his timeline and in his way. But God invites us to come to him and say, God, if it's your will, I just pray that you will heal. You know, it's interesting this morning as we were just sharing as a band and talking here. Brian Brown, who was playing guitar. Brian, are you able and willing to come up? That'd be great. That'd be great. This is kind of pretty spur of the moment, but Brian just started sharing. I said, we're talking about faith this morning and about healing. And then he shared a story with us that I thought, this would be great for us all to hear and to be encouraged by. And something that where the rubber hits the road right now and a real life story going on.
Thanks, Wayne. I'm pleased to be here as a guest today. I've known Jim for a number of years, and he said, would you come and play bass for us this morning? And I said, yeah, I'd be glad to. This weekend works for me, and so I'm here with my wife and a friend of ours. And I just mentioned to Wayne, after he was telling what he was going to preach about this morning, I said, can we pray for a situation in our lives? I work with Youth for Christ. I work primarily with students between 18 and about 23 years of age. And I'm sincere when I say I almost always learn more from them and their walk with Jesus than I'm afraid that I impart to them. And a young lady was a part of our program this year. Her name's Liz. And she's a follower of Jesus. If you met her a year ago, she had one of the earlier types of faith, and it's been interesting to see her faith grow this year and develop. And this summer, earlier in the summer, the family found out that her dad, who was a church attender when he was younger, but certainly at this point in time, his life would say he's far from Jesus, had a benign tumor. And so Liz started praying and believes that God has indicated to her that God is walking with her dad and has just been trusting that God would change his life, that Jesus would make himself aware to her dad. On Friday, because it was a vacation day for many of us, three, Liz and two of her other friends dropped by and we were chatting and they left about 4 o'clock and went home. And about 5:30, I got a text from Liz at the hospital. Because I apologize. I don't apologize for being emotional. And her dad has pneumonia and cancer. And that's never a good combination. And so I asked her if she would call me back later in the evening. So she phoned when she got home from the hospital about 11:30 that night, and we prayed on the phone. And she got up yesterday morning, and she phoned me about mid-afternoon, and we chatted. I said, tell me where you're at, Liz. Where's your heart? And Dad is now not conscious anymore and is on a breathing tube. And she said, I woke up this morning, and you don't know Liz, but here's 20-year-old Liz saying, I woke up this morning, and I just, before I even got out of bed, it was like God said to me, I want you to start fasting and praying until I answer your prayer. Now Liz goes, I have no idea what that meant. And I thought, you know, sometimes we think things, and I need to be sure that God is telling me this. It just seems like I would never have thought of that on my own. So she said, I got up and went about stuff, and I was getting ready to go to the hospital. So I sat down to read my devotions, and I was reading in Daniel right now. And I started in Daniel chapter 9, and about 3 or 4 verses in, it talks about Daniel fasting and praying for what he was asking of God. And she said, I just took that as his confirmation. And so I'm fasting and praying for my dad now, Brian. So she spent yesterday at the hospital, and She texted me this morning, and then I talked to Wayne, and Wayne said, would you share the story? And I said, sure. So I phoned Liz, and she said she would be glad for me to share her story. So she stands a little bit alone in her faith and her family, a little bit. A little bit alone in her faith. What was up on the screen earlier is when life encounters Jesus. And Liz, I know, has figured out that life, it's possible to live life here, and we know about Jesus over here. Or we even sit today, and Wayne tells us about faith, and we go, yes, I believe. We could all tick off. There was a little quiz in our bulletin. We could tick off, yes, yes, I believe. But sometimes the faith in my life looks like this. I have faith that I'm going to be able to have food to eat today at lunch, which is no faith at all. Because apart from a heart attack or being hit on the way home, and I only live about 10 blocks from here, I know there's food in my fridge. I know my wife has thought about what we're going to eat today. And yes, God provides for me every day, but really, I am not stepping out very far to say, I have faith for that. Liz says, my dad isn't conscious right now. I'm not sure where his life is with Jesus at all. But Jesus said I should fast and pray. So I'm going to fast and pray. And it's been an encouragement to me to say, Brian, if you stand on the shore and look out there and see what Jesus is calling to you and say, yes, I believe Jesus calls us to that, and stand on the shore and say that, that's no faith at all. It's just a statement of fact. And I think Liz's faith today is calling me to say, what is something that's so big that I can't possibly believe it could happen? But it desperately tears at my heart. Am I willing to take that to Jesus and really believe? Yeah. And then walk away, not knowing what will happen. Faith in what we hope for, but we don't see. Hope in what we don't have any sense of, that it will happen. But Jesus, if you say it could, then I trust you. So I just want to share a faith of a 20-year-old girl who today loves Jesus and loves her dad and believes that God is incredibly bigger than anything she could ask or think. And my encouragement to you is to stand on the shore with myself and go, boy, yeah, I could step into my ankles. Are we really willing to throw ourselves into his arms at a deep level where we go, boy, if he doesn't save me, all is lost.
Thanks, Brian. Let's give Brian a hand. Thank you for sharing that with us. And yeah, where the rubber hits the road, God invites us to step in, and we will. We will be praying for Liz and for her dad as well. God has a plan. He has a purpose, and what faith is believing that and stepping in. And God, I'm going to go down this journey, and like Liz said, I'm going to do what you're asking. I'm going to seek your guidance, and as I walk through it, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to pray for healing and for her right now. And God, he acts, and he does. He does what is best. There's a good story that Tony Campolo shared about being in a church in Oregon. And he prayed for a man who had cancer. And God, he operates in his way and in his time. And we're reminded of that with a story like this. It says, in the middle of the week, he received a phone call, telephone call from the man's wife. And she said, you prayed for my husband. He had cancer. And Tony Campolo says, I said, had? Whoa. He thought, it's happened. And she said, he died. And Campolo felt terrible. And the woman said, don't feel bad. When he came into church that Sunday, he was filled with anger. He knew he was going to be dead in a short period of time, and he hated God. He was 58 years old, and he wanted to see his children and grandchildren grow up. He was angry that this all-powerful God didn't take away his sickness and heal him. He would lie in bed and curse God. The more his anger grew toward God, the more miserable he was to everybody around him. It was an awful thing to be in his presence. And after you prayed for him, a peace came over him, and a joy came into him. The last 3 days have been the best days of our lives. We've sung, we've laughed, we've read scripture, we've prayed. They've been wonderful days. And I call to thank you for laying your hands on him and praying for healing. And then she said something incredibly profound. She said, he wasn't cured, but he was healed. And we know that God is a God who heals, and he chooses how and when, and he invites us to come in and come into the journey with him. It's fascinating to see that this great person of faith, Apostle Paul, he brought something to God, and we don't know exactly what it was, but he says it's this thorn in the flesh. He talked about it, something that was a desperate need in his life and a desperate place of weakness. And this is what he said. He said, 3 times this, I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. And Paul says, so now I can boast, I'm glad to boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ can work through me. God invites us to let his power be in our lives and to work through him and to pray in faith. This Roman official, this government official learned that. And it's a wonderful thing to walk into that world of faith, this place of amazing faith where we're just going, you know what, God? I know that you're with me. And as we see God do his work, and we trust him, and we know that he's got all things good in mind for us, it's great to see how that can transfer from one person to another. And even as Brian comes this morning, and I hear and I see his faith, and as he says so clearly up here, there's something about extending that to other people, and how that grows and develops. One of our statements, our mission statements here at Coast Hills is extending grace to people, extending grace to lost people, to people who don't know faith. And this government official, he actually moved into that realm as well. When it says that he came home and it says he and his entire household believed. There was this great way in which everybody got to share. I mean, there was no missing it. I mean, it had happened right there in their home. But they all come into this place of faith. They go, that's connected to the word of Jesus, to what Jesus would do. And it's amazing how God uses these stories, how he uses our faith story. I think it's so cool that Kevin's going to be going through faith stories with the junior high kids in the coming weeks. And how that just gets transferred and how God uses that in the lives of others. When it extends beyond ourselves, we say, you know, who can I share my faith story with? I've seen God do some things in my life. It might be very dramatic. It might be dramatic like this government official. It might be something that may not be so visible and tangible like that, but we know that God's done something in our lives, and he's actually the author of faith. He puts faith into our hearts. And we go, you know what? I know that I'm living differently than I did last week or last year or 10 years ago. God, I am so thankful for what you've done. God invites us to walk this faith journey, to see it deepen, to see it grow. And I'm going to just pray and make a prayer of invitation that way. I want to invite the worship team to come up. And if you'd stand up with me right now, we will pray together. And there might be something this morning that you say, you know, it might be a big thing, like what Brian shared. It might be something where you just know that, God, I just, in my own heart and mind, and I'm going to give you a moment as I pray, where you can just say, I want to grow. And Lord, I have this need. Or Lord, I know that I need to be acting in faith and just living that out. Or Lord, I know that that I have a knowing faith that you've done these things before. Just bring that to my mind. And Lord, help me to live that out and to extend that faith to others. Let's pray. God, I just want to thank you that you are always the faithful one. you never move from faith. And Jesus, we just thank you for the way in which you lived your life and how you invited us to enter into that kingdom as well and to know that kind of faith ourselves. And Lord, you know each person's journey here. You know what each person here may be going through. I just pray, Lord Jesus, that you would just teach us the next steps. Help us to grow and to deepen in our faith today, even at this moment. And Lord, for 30 seconds here now, I'm just going to give an opportunity for silence and for us to bring that thing, that situation, that person, whatever it might be, to you in a prayer of faith right now. God, we thank you for your love. You love us very deeply, and you have a plan. And your plans are never limited by distance or by time. You've got something in mind for each of us, and you invite us to step out in faith and to go there with you. And Lord, I just pray that you would help us to live that way today, this week. As we go from here, we seal this under your name, God, whatever it is that we have prayed for in faith, and we leave that with you. We trust you, God. In your name, amen.